Welcome to the Building Builders Podcast, a podcast made for contractors. Today's guest is Kathy Takaro, a heavy equipment operator on one of Canada's largest mines. Kathy is a vibrant, energized woman with a lot of great experience operating the world's largest dozers, graders, haul trucks, and more. In this episode, Kathy and Kevin talk about how she got into operating equipment, what it's like to get trained on the world's biggest equipment, and what working on a mine is actually like. Let's get into the episode now.
Kathy, it's awesome to meet you. Thanks for joining our Building Builders podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm feeling kind of special right now. Even if I'm not, I'll still take the feeling.
I've been looking forward to this this call, Kathy. My team's been kind of informing me about yourself and your career. You're operating some of the biggest equipment in the world, D11 dozers, rock trucks, graders. You're working in an open mine pit. Sounds awesome. So first things first, we'd love to know how you got into this career of operating equipment. I believe you were a nurse at one point, and I have a note about maybe being homeless at some point.
Oh, yeah, it's quite the story.
Yeah, I'd love to learn more about your story.
All right. Well, it's pretty intense, so I'll just kind of try and chop it down. I was a nurse for 13 years until I was 42, and great career, loved it, was excellent at it. But the problem is that I didn't know how to balance my life. It was too easy for me to take care of other people, not take care of me. Common nurse thing. And I had a lot of trauma growing up. It was really tough for me. I mean, I'm 54? I'm going to be 54 next week. And when I talk about it, I still get all, oof. But the thing is that I never dealt with it. My way of dealing with it was not dealing with it. And this is a common thing. People think, you know what? Like for me, I was nursing, and then I got this great career, whatever happened in the past, stayed in the past, it doesn't matter anymore, whatever, I'm a tough cookie, I'm a survivor, all that stuff. And it caught up to me. I was 42, and I showed up one day, I had 10 patients to look at, to take care of, and I'm looking at my sheet, and I couldn't read the words. I couldn't see. It's like my brain just shut down. And I went from the medical unit down to the psych unit because I thought I was losing my mind. And I'm in my nursing scrubs, and I'm pounding on the door like, let me in, let me in. They actually called security, get her out, get her out. And two security guards brought me to emerge. And that was the first time that I spoke to a psychiatric doctor, and, thinking I'm crazy, thinking I'm losing my mind. But in the meantime, let me just backtrack. I'd become an alcoholic. That was my way of dealing with the pain, dealing with and giving myself permission to drink, saying that, you know what, you've had it rough. It's okay. Have that beer after work or that vodka or whatever. But it was just became too much. Right. Anyway, so the doctor, I thought he was going to admit me for, a 72-hour evaluation. Maybe I'm bipolar or schizophrenic or multiple personalities. I don't know. And all he said, he says, there's no amount of pills that's going to fix you, Kathy. You need to fix you. You need to quit drinking, number one, and then you need to go address this long list of issues that you talked about. And so I did that. But I mean, this was in 2008, and change takes time, right? So fast forward, I quit drinking for a bit, but then I'd relapse and then back and forth. Ended up losing my career at 42 completely. I was drinking on the job. I was a mess. And I ended up losing everything I owned. I slashed my arm. I don't remember. There's a bunch of scars here you can't see. And I ended up drunk and homeless on the street. My daughter wouldn't talk to me. I was a mess. I mean, you want to talk rock bottom? I mean, I was at the root cellar of rock bottom. And on the seventh day of being homeless, I kid you not, this man named Toothless Joe slaps me on the back, and he's like, this is the life, live it, love it. That was my moment, because when he did that, I call it a godsmack, because I'm like, excuse me, what did you just say? I'm like, this? Not my life. I know for a fact I'm born to something greater than being drunk and homeless on the street. Well, that moment inspired me to, and I'd been robbed. I had absolutely nothing. I literally had the shirt on my back. But that moment, inspired me to do whatever it took to get away from that guy. So I went to a women's program where you live there for a year, and I had to unlearn the years of trauma and then relearn who I was at 42 and try and figure out how freaking awesome I am. And I did that. And so, but in doing so, I knew that I couldn't go back to nursing. How do you change careers at 42? It's freaking hard. I mean, I didn't know what I liked, what I didn't like. So this is so funny. I went to a career planning workshop to find out what I wanted to be when I grow up. And the lady, after 3 days of aptitude test, personality test, gives me this sheet in big letters. It said heavy equipment operator. I'm like, you've got to be joking, right? I was laughing so hard. I thought this was the most ridiculous career. And she looks at me. I said, I'm 42. I'm a woman. I don't even like equipment. I'm not mechanically inclined. And seriously, it's a man's job. That's what I thought. And I gave her back the test. I said, your test is wrong. There's a guy next to me. I said, it's probably his. You got this mixed up. Well, she pushes it back, puts a hand on her hip and says, if only you'd believe in yourself a little bit, missy, you'd see the test is right. So she puts on this video, It's Possible. And I started thinking, well, you know, I could drive a truck. I'm a good driver. And so then all of a sudden I went from thinking it's not possible to thinking, well, you know what? Maybe I could give it a try. And so in Canada, we have a nonprofit organization called Women Building Futures. And there's companies that sponsor programs to get women in the non-traditional trades, like electrician, carpentry, heavy equipment, whatever, right? And the day I went in, honest, had I gone a day before, I'd have missed it. The day I went in, ExxonMobil, the biggest oil and gas company in the world, they were there sponsoring 16 women to take a 12-week heavy equipment operator course. And 158 women applied. And lo and behold, I had nothing left to lose because I had nothing. So I said, you want me to do a backflip? I'll do a backflip. Whatever you want, I'll do it, right? Yeah. And I got picked. I mean, I went through their hoops and I got picked and I did the 12-week course, and son of a gun, if that woman wasn't right who told me, because every piece of equipment I'm getting on, I'm rocking it, man. Like I'm in an excavator and I'm loading this rock truck. I'm like, oh my God, look, I can do this. I was like a kid. And I mean, on the grader and on the dozer, I mean, oh my God. And so I got hired. I went up to the open pit mine for Exxon in 2010 years on May 23rd, it'll be. And here, this is the picture. This is my book that I wrote. We'll get into that. This picture is me beside the truck. First day on site. Never been there before in my life. Look at the tire. It's 14 feet high, right? And you can't see it, but in the picture, I'm like, right? But I'm actually crying because not only am I overwhelmed with the size of the truck because it's mammoth, it's 2.5 stories high, it's 3,800 square feet, 14 feet tire, it carries 400 tons. The thing goes 50 miles an hour, fully loaded. I mean, that's impressive. I did not train on this. I trained on a freaking tiny little rock truck, right? Anyway, so in the picture, I'm crying because I'm thinking that 2 years before that picture, I was drunk and homeless, standing with Toothless Joe, right? And I'm thinking, if only Toothless Joe could see me now, right? And so, yeah, so that was 10 years ago. And now the company is so wonderful that they pay for the training. Now I operate the largest grader in the world. It's a 24M. For those that don't know what that is, it's bigger than an 18-wheeler highway tractor trailer. So when a flat deck comes into the mine hauling pipe, I'm actually looking down at the driver going, hey, man, how's it going? And now it takes a year to train on each piece of equipment because they want you to do 1,000 hours and they want you to do each season, because in Northern Canada, the seasons are not like here in LA, right? So it was different. And now I've been on the dozer, the D11, for the last 6 months, and I have 6 more months to go. And I'm just recently, I just got home a couple days ago, and I just started training at ripping above the shovel. And what that means is the shovels in these mines are like ships. And I am on different benches. So you say you got the shovel here, I'm on different benches above, and you turn the dozer around and you rip. So the ground, when the shovel comes and scoops up the dirt, well, because everything's frozen up there. So you got to rip the shovel so the dirt, so the shovel will pick it up. And then I got to whip around, push it down. So you're literally, you're on a 50 to 60 incline slope all the time for 13 hour shifts. You're like, oh my God, oh my God. Because it's a steep edge. Wow. So yeah, it's been life altering. I do a lot of speaking engagements and I tell women everywhere, you got to try this. Oh my God. Not only is it fun, it's challenging, it pays well. What it does for your self-esteem is unbelievable, right? It's like, I can do anything. It's like, yeah. So yeah. That was a lot. Sorry.
It sounds like you pretty much got into just very heavy equipment right away. I was going to ask, did you start on smaller stuff like skid steers and mini
excavators? Go home.
You started in a rock truck.
And the 797 is the biggest truck in the world, and that's all they have up. Well, they have smaller trucks. They have a 785. So I drive the roads. I have a smaller truck where you drive, and the conditions are so bad up there that you need a lot of sand. So you have a smaller truck that'll go along with the dump body up, and you got sand, and you drive, so the sand just falls out. So you're sanding the road, and then the grader will come behind and then just kind of make sure, because it's everything about the trucks. Because this is filled, I work in an oil sand, so it's oil, it's ore, you know, bitumen. Yeah. So it's all about the business. The more ore you dump into the crusher, the more it goes down the pipe and whatever, right? So it's all about supporting the trucks. So yeah, so I sand the road, I drive the road, I drive the biggest water truck in the world. It holds 52,000 gallons of water. It's I wrote this book sitting in the water truck under this tree because it's like a big pipe, and it fills the water tank, but it's so big that it takes about half an hour to fill. And you do that about 13 times a day. I got half hour stints, and I'm like, well, I got 8 hamsters and 1 wheel in this noggin. I'm like, ooh, what can I do with my time? I hand wrote the book sitting in the truck, pen and paper, man, because we're not allowed any electronics. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So what's the learning curve like in the equipment? I heard you say, they want you to have 1,000 hours, but I mean, there is a day one when you get in with 0 hours. So what's it like learning it?
You know, they are very, very good at providing training. I have a trainer with me for the first little while, all the time. You know, I have a radio, he's got a radio, he's been doing this for 25 years. And, you know, he's kind of given me all his knowledge and stuff, and, you know, helping me with little, like in the grader, took me forever. Like, my God, there's 12 functions with this hand, 14 functions with this. The blade in the grader is 24 feet long, 3 feet high.
Yeah.
Like, it's mammoth, right? And trying to get blade control, you're like, crap. So they want to, the training is really good. Like now in the dozer, as soon as they see you, you're okay, then they'll kind of take off and let you learn your own style. But like above shovel, it's such a dangerous position that he'll be right beside me in the dozer, you know, going back and forth, and, you know, so I can see what he's doing, and we're talking on a different channel. So the biggest thing is the different seasons. It's because operating in the summer is different than when it's minus 45, right? So that's why they want the training for a year. 1,000 hours is just like right now I'm at 600 hours. And anything, you know what, if they see that I'm not performing or I'm not advancing fast enough, and you're not, you know, they'll just take you right off the training. Lots of people haven't made it on the dozer because it's not a typical construction job where I work. It's very job specific, right? There's very intense. It's like now our mine has turned into autonomous mining. So we have 80 big trucks, 87 97s, and there's no more drivers. It's all autonomous. So you got these giant robots.
Wow.
It's crazy. They have a specific system. So in every dozer is now a big computer screen like my laptop. And you have to generate computer lanes so that these trucks will come beside your dozer, dump it off, and then take off. Well, and then another truck. So you have all these lanes. And my job as a dozer operator is no longer just, managing my dump with people, but it's trying to figure out how am I going to fit this robot beside me. Like, it's something else. Honestly, it's so the training has to be provided, because I mean, a lot of, like, when I talked to some of the operators that have been doing this forever, their way of getting trained was, here's a dozer, here are the functions, figure it out.
right.
And I've been very fortunate to have, you know, the best trainers in the world teach me everything they know, right? So for free. I get paid to get trained. so yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Dozer, an online marketplace for heavy equipment rentals across North America. Partnering with thousands of rental houses, Dozer provides contractors with access to local suppliers, transparent pricing, and mobile ordering. Go to dozer.com to find your next heavy equipment rental. That's dozer.com.
That's so wild. 80. So all I guess I'm surprised. I didn't realize that we'd move that far, that all 80 trucks are...
It's incredible. Wow. It's something else. You have to, everything I've ever learned, even as a grader operator, has to be shifted, because everything revolves around these robots. So making windrows on the road, you can't do that, because these robots, they'll sense a bump, or they'll sense your windrow and they'll stop. Right. Well, now you're stopping a truck. You're stopping maybe five trucks behind it. Now management does not want you stopping trucks, right? Because that's going to be pressure. So it changed. The whole dynamics have changed. Not many people are very happy with that. But you know, what are you going to do? I work 2 weeks. I get 2 weeks off. I get 6 weeks paid vacation. I mean, come on, where am I going to get that? Right. And now that I'm an author, a motivational speaker, I do so much things. I'm trying to create an online course. I'm doing other things. If I were to have a Monday to Friday job, I wouldn't be able to live here in LA, number one. And number two, I wouldn't be able to travel the world like I do and inspire people worldwide, that, like, because I do a lot of side jobs, not jobs, I do a lot of volunteers. So everywhere I go, I make sure that I go visit the women's shelters, because I come from domestic violence and childhood abuse and lots of sexual trauma. I make sure that I go talk to them, and I do it for free. It's not about money. It's about showing people, women and youth. I go to a lot of schools. I go to youth centers. I go to juvenile homes. I go to prisons to show people that, man, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You can change that. You can fix it. You can get up and say, you know what, I some really bad things have happened, but although you can't change that, you can change the outcome of where you're going to go. You know, you can alter your route, right? It's like I use my job often as I forget the word, but, you know, kind of like to say, listen, in my job, we build roads, you know, we tear down roads. We do a lot of stuff to make sure that where our ultimate goal is to achieve and, you know, succeed, have the company. Well, why don't you do the same in your own life? You can build anything. You can do anything you want. Just use the tools that you have, or if you don't have the tools, go find the tools. Especially since COVID, there's been so many resources that are free that are given to the world. Well, use them, right? You just have to, want to bad enough, I think, is what it is, you know.
Kathy, you're talking about sort of a, you know, it's bringing me to this like idea of like a mindset, right? Like, you know, to be able to sort of create this life for yourself. I'm curious specifically on the mindset and maybe this, I don't know if it was like a guidance counselor. I know I'm thinking about high school, but the counselor who helped you, is there a certain mindset that operators like yourself, you know, need to be able to operate equipment at this level?
You know, I would say yes, because it's such an intense job that they hire, I'll give you an example. ExxonMobil, Imperial in Canada, same company. They through every job that they put online, they will interview 8 people, because they weed out the ones that I don't know, attitudes. Attitude's a big thing. If you can't take direction, if you're not willing to learn, if you don't want to wear a seatbelt, if you have issues, whatever, they'll weed those out. So everybody at site has been really interviewed by 4, 5, 6 different people to make sure you're the right fit. Make sure that the way you look at the world, the way you lead your life at home, how what's your approach to, you know, stopping and thinking before looking at a job? Are you willing to, you know, do the job safety analysis? Are you willing to just to stop for a minute, maybe talk it over? You know, like it really depends. And they're really insistent on health. So they built us this ginormous gym so that after a 13-hour day or before the day that you go and you do your yoga or you go to the gym, you do what you need to do physically so that you're mentally rested. You know, they provide they provide mental health at work. We have a psychologist on site, you know, for counseling, because we do, people have families, right? And when we're far away, families with kids with little kids, it's hard because they're not home. You know, there's not very many women on site. Like on my crew, we're down to 6 women out of 170. It's not a lot. I think women, I'm trying to inspire more women to come, but you know, women with their kids are small. It's not as that motherly instinct of wanting, you know, to be home. I don't know what it is, but, or young women that do start, they get pregnant. Well, they don't come back. And I mean, it's understandable. So, but, the mental health, we have often our supervisors will come on the radio and talk about if you're having a moment at home, if something's going wrong, you know, take the time you need. If you need to pull over, like, you know, and just take they call it a stop and think break, you know, just do it. Do what you need to do so that your focus when you're driving this thing is 100% on the road and not your problems at home. Right. So my work is absolutely fabulous for that. It is.
That's great. Sounds like an awesome employer. I'm curious, what's the scariest part about this job, operating this equipment? You know, I have to assume that there's times where it's pretty dark and cold up in Canada.
In February, I'll give you a good example. -45. So cold, right? And I'm on a 12-meter lift, right, on the dozer, and there's so much steam just from the equipment. I mean, these dozers are the size of a 2-car garage, right? Like it's massive.
Right.
And so here I am. I'm on a 12-meter lift, and I can't see where the edge is. And I got all these robot trucks, and they come so fast that they dump and dump and dump and dump, right? So you got truck after truck after truck. I have to keep up as an operator, right? And you got supervision watching what you're doing, so you have to perform. There's expectations, right? I don't even see the way the trucks come. They'll pull up beside the dozer 3 meters, which isn't very far, and is a tire, right? And the tires, they come close, and I'm thinking, okay, I know they're robots, but still, it's really kind of creepy. So the steam is so bad that as I'm pushing, because I can only take slices of 400 tons is a massive mountain of dirt to move, so I can only take slices of dirt as I push, but I can't see where I'm pushing because there's so much steam. So you lose track. Yeah. I mean, and so I'm like, okay, I'm kind of inching along. Am I at the edge? Like, well, where am I? And the only reason I know I've hit the edge of the 12-meter drop is the whole dozer will tip forward. You're like, oh God, back up. And the thing is that, you know, the switches are your fingers. So the one is backwards, the one is forwards. I'm like, okay, right switch, right finger, right? Not to go forward instead of backwards. And you can't see where you're going. And it's so you're like that for 13 hours a day, a night, you know. Whoa. It's just steam. And you don't know what you're doing. And you lose perception. You don't know what direction you're at because it's all one big bubble. Like you're in a cloud. Oh my God. It's very nerve-wracking. It's very, very mentally draining. And that's when the supervision, they'll come and they'll say, you know, if you need time, just stop. You know, we're not going to sit here and judge you, but I mean, they don't want you to stop for an hour at a time, but obviously just take the time you need to say, okay, I'm good. Let's try this again. But yeah. Yeah.
That's wild. So it's like that the whole shift?
The whole shift. And the thing is, I work 14 shifts in a row, back to back to back. I just eat, sleep, work. Well, in February or January, February, it literally generally is minus 50, minus 56 for 3 weeks at a time. The intense, it's like a deep frost. I'm literally, you got Alaska, Yukon, I'm at Northwest Territories. I'm way up there, right? So it's cold. Like your nostrils stick together, your eyelashes stick together. You take a breath and you're like, it's like ice going down your lungs. Yeah, it's intense. It's very intense.
Is it cold on the machine?
It depends. The graders are really bad because it's just their windows all around and there's nothing, you know, so it freezes. Every winter when I'm in the grader, I'm in my parka. I got my toque. I got my, you know, all you see is my eyes. I'm operating with my gloves. I mean, it's so cold. If it gets too cold, obviously the supervision tells us to get off the equipment, but, it's intense. Yeah, it's quite the job.
So tell me more about the hours. You're 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. And in this case, it sounds like you're working at night. What hours are you working?
Of days. So I'll leave at 5:30 in the morning and I get back at 7 o'clock at night. We live on site in camp. So we're really only a 4 minute bus ride to where the lockers are, where our uniforms are, you know, our coveralls and stuff. And then, I start at 6 o'clock and I get back at 6:45 and I'm back in my room at 7 PM. So we do 14, one rotation of days, get 14 days off. And then now I'm going back for 14 nights. And then get 14 off, go back, you know, back and forth. And then you get to pick your vacation whenever you want, right? And then obviously the more seniority you have, you can pick whatever. So I'm going to Peru in September, October, I'm going to speak for Caterpillar in Peru. Number one, they don't have very many women in Peru in the mine, but Peru is known for all their mines. So I'm going to go do a career day for them to kind of inspire the locals to, hey, you can do this. And which is really cool because they're bringing me to tour some of the mines in Peru, which is so exciting, right? So, I do. Really, and then, cool. In September, I'm going to Mexico for Caterpillar because that's where they manufacture the dump bodies of the truck. There's three plants in Monterrey, Mexico, and they make the dump bodies of the truck, they make the blades of the dozers, and they make the rippers. So they have 5,000 employees. I'm going down there to tour all three manufacturers and talk to the women, you know, just about careers and stuff and Cat and everything that I do. And so, Caterpillar, they've been wonderful at sponsoring my little bobblehead that I have. Caterpillar gave me permission to put a little 797 here.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm curious on the camp. Can you tell us more about that? What's it like at the camp, and what do you do in your downtime, your free time in the evenings?
They have to provide for mental health purposes, right? Because our job is so intense. The camp that we live in, I've lived in the same room for 10 years. It's just a room with your own bathroom and all that. They give you a fridge and a computer desk and TV and all that. It's your house for 2 weeks. And when I leave, somebody else takes over my room. So it's always that same person. So it's not like I'm moving stuff. We have a big lounge games room where there's golf simulators, there's pool tables, there's, you know, poker tables, there's ping pong, big area for hockey games, big screens, you know, all that. And this giant gymnasium. We have a basketball court, badminton, pickleball, tennis.
Oh, wow.
They have a whole yoga room. They have an upstairs mezzanine, and they even have a women's center. So if women that aren't too comfortable, it's really good. They really focus on the whole mental health, well-being, physical being of the person so that you can come to work fit for duty, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So there's lots of room to kind of collaborate and have time with others, but, you know, also it sounds like lots of privacy.
And they provide all the food, right? So everything is already pre-cut. So the lunchroom is massive. All the sandwiches you can have. There's an area where you can pre-order your sandwiches or salads, you know, on a form, and the kitchen will have it ready with your name on it. I have a severe gluten allergy. I can't eat any, like, I get really sick. So, I mean, there's an area for gluten-free sandwiches and, you know, just whatever. I bring a lot of my own stuff, but they're really, really good at providing everything we need. You know, so we just show up. They fly us to work. There's Calgary. So from when I fly from LA, I land in Calgary, and then the company pays for me to go up north. So back and forth. Okay. Yeah. It's an hour and a half flight north, straight north from Calgary, and then it's a 45-minute bus ride to site.
Yeah. Okay.
There's about 7,000 people up at site right now. So there's two big camps. Yeah. There's one camp. It's literally in the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest hotel in the world. It's called Wapasu. So if you look at it, there's a camp, because it's considered a hotel because, you know, it's room and board and all that stuff, right? So
I'm definitely Googling that after this.
Yeah, Wapasu. That's interesting.
So shifting gears a little bit, are there any best practices for other operators? Anything you kind of like to share?
You know what? Yes. Ask questions. I find that a lot of people are afraid to voice their concerns. Number one, they don't want to look stupid, or they don't want to look like they don't know what they're doing. But that's not it. I think it's shifting the whole mindset that it's okay to ask questions. And sometimes, you know what, asking, your peers that have more experience, that have, you know, well, how do you do this? Like, here, I'm trying to do something and it's not working, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, and you kind of share. And I know, coming into new jobs like the dozer right now, I mean, it's a big thing. And so what do I know? Nothing, right? So I'm asking the questions. I'm going to talk to, like, we have the pickups to get to the dozer. We have about 20-minute drive to get into the mine to go replace, you know, the night shift or day shift. Well, they're, instead of talking about coffee or whatever, or what happened last night in the hockey game, I'm asking the shovel operator, if I'm ripping above the shovel, well, what do you think is going to work for you? What do you want me to do? Because you got to work together. So, you know, right. And they're more than happy to share their knowledge. They love it. It's almost like an ego thing. Oh, well, I got this, right? Just about asking questions, but I really, really think that taking care of your personal well-being is really important. If you're not sleeping enough, if you got a lot of problems at home, if you've got other issues rising, I mean, you know, a lot of people have health issues. Well, when you're carrying that around in a truck, like in a dozer, you're busy doing stuff. Trucking, you're back and forth. It can get monotonous. It can get, you know, so a lot of people just get lost in their thoughts. Well, that could be a dangerous place, you know, when you're more thinking about what's going on in your head or not focusing on the road. Like, I'll give you an example. I wish I had a picture with me. Just last week, we had a dozer that ran over a pickup. The procedures weren't followed. It was on our site, but with a contractor company, and the supervisor, say this is a dozer, the supervisor, they were on different channels. There's supposed to be a 50 meter radius before you approach the dozer. Well, he just assumed, he had pre-told the operator that, you know, I'm going to meet, I have some paperwork to give you. And they said, okay. So they had made but he didn't warn the dozer that he was behind him. So he's parked, and the dozer didn't do a shoulder check or didn't see him or whatever, backed up, put his ripper right through the pickup. The supervisor only had time to get out, you know? So yeah, like it's, wow. Yeah. Right. So, having your mind, fully focused on the task at hand is really important. And if you have things going on, say something, you know, or pull over, take the time that you need so they like incidents, because they happen in the blink of an eye, right? They really do.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, on a similar sort of thing with, you know, safety and well-being, this big equipment's got to be tough on your body. I know that I know it's built for comfort, but like after a while, it's got to be tough.
It's so rough. Another thing our company does, they pay for chiropractors, massages, physio, whatever it is that you need. We have an allowance every year. So yeah, they're really good at that. And they insist. And yes, it's very, very rough. Though some of those dozers, the undercarriages are just shot, right? So you're like, oh, it's like, oh my God. I personally have a plug-in back thing where I kind of run up and down my back because my upper, I actually go for Thai massages. So I have ladies walking on my back, right? With their little feet and stuff. It's like, oh yeah. Oh no, it is rough. The roads are rough, especially now in the summer. Now with these autonomous trucks, they have specific lanes that they're always go in. Well, the ruts are so big that a pickup can go through the ruts. Well, driving in a pickup in the mine, you're like this, right? It's really hard on the body. Oh my God. So yeah. So it's really learning if you want a long career. A lot of people have back issues, right? Because of the slamming, you know, you're like this on the lower spine. You have to take care of yourself. You have to, you know, make sure that you are fit for work mentally and physically. So, I mean, and you don't have to drive like you stole the truck either, right? You don't have to operate it like you're a friggin' mad woman. No, I mean, go slower, right?
Right. Yeah. Kathy, one more question for you. We always ask people what their favorite piece of equipment is.
God, it's the dozer. As hard as it is, as stressful as it can be above the shovel, I love it. It's like I'm almost like, I feel like I'm smashing shit, you know? I can like, oh, I'm destroying it, but I'm loving it. Like when I'm building a ramp, or it's so empowering. I mean, every piece has its own, you know, its own beauty. Whether I'm sanding the roads, driving the roads, grading the roads, and now building the roads, I love it all because it's different. But the dozer, honestly, it's empowering. Can you hang on a second? Hang on.
You bet.
Caterpillar gave me this beautiful dozer. Look at that.
Oh man!
It's even got a little man. Can you see that? Look at that baby. Right? It's even got a little man sitting there.
Is that the D11?
This is the D11. Yeah. This thing is $250 for this thing. I was fortunate enough that in October, Caterpillar brought me to Peoria in Illinois, and I got to tour where they build them. I got to tour the factory. That's awesome. Where they gave me this. And yeah, to see it from tiny little first box to the very end result is so empowering. If anybody ever goes to Peoria, go see their mining museum is unbelievable. They actually have a 797. They built the 797. They built the museum around the truck. Okay. So spoiler alert, when you're coming along the box here, like in the museum, you're walking along the box, there's a door there. You open the door. There's a freaking movie theater in the dump box. You got a big screen. You go, you can fit 50 people. They show cat shows. It's fun. Yeah, it's really interesting. Anybody want to check it out? Check it out.
Yeah. That's very, very cool. Kathy, this has been an awesome conversation.
Thank you.
Is there a way that our listeners can connect with you, find you online, and find your book?
My book, Kathy Takaro, Dream Big. It's on Amazon, Kindle, podcast, whatever. I'm just in the middle of making the audiobook, so that's coming. They can find me, my name, KathyTakaro.com. You can see my name. Or I'm on all Instagram. I'm now creating Designer Miner. Oh, I wish you could see it. I don't know. I have a hard hat back there. It's all blinged out because I was on a TV show. Anyway, I'm in the middle of creating the new website, designerminer.net. And so you'll find more about it. It's not quite finished, but if you want more information, designerminer.ca is my Instagram. You can find me anywhere. And if anybody wants to talk to me about whatever, go under the contact page. I will respond. I promise. Always.
Awesome.
Okay. Thank you for having me. It's been so good. I know I talk a lot, but I'm excited. I'm passionate about what I do.
We love it. Yeah. We're learning lots and really appreciate the time with you today, Kathy.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode with Kathy talking about her career journey and what it's like to operate the world's heaviest equipment. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also follow us on social media or watch all of our episodes on YouTube. And make sure to subscribe there as well. All links to Kathy, including her LinkedIn and book, are provided in the description of this episode. Thanks again for tuning in, and we look forward to having you back soon.